Welcome to More Than Music. My name is Brian. I'm the worship leader over at Waleska First Baptist Church. Here connecting songs with scripture and lyrics to your life. This day we are taking a look at the old hymn, There Is a Fountain, and I'm calling it a hymn, although I'm not exactly sure which category this fits into. This was written by William Cowper in 1772. He wrote several other hymns, but this is probably the one that you will know. I didn't know any of the other hymns that he'd written. I don't even recognize the names of them. Cowper was a poet more than a hymnist, and it shows in his work here. This song leans on its poetry far more than some of the other hymns we've examined. Let's take a look at the lyrics of this song. Verse 1, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Right out the gate. No, there was not a fountain. No, there is no current fountain. And no, there shall never be a fountain filled with Jesus' blood. Relax, I'm just telling the truth. So verily, verily, I say unto thee, churchgoer, there is no bloody geyser exhibit to go see at the Vatican or in Jerusalem. However, this is poetry in action. This is a picture the author is drawing for us with his beautifully crafted poetic words. We're going to see this again and again in this song. And in fact, this song was really hard for me to come up with scriptures for. I had to really dig to get into some of the meat of what's going on here, because he's just using different words to say the same thing again and again. And that's poetry. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains was an interesting line to me, so I wanted to look into that a little bit. I typed in stain to Blue Letter Bible. And I'm reading out of the NASB 20 here. Here's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 22. Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is before me, declares the Lord God. So this scripture is telling you, you cannot wash yourself clean with soap. And so the one thing that can wash away our guilty stains is the blood of Jesus. He is the one that can free us from that. The chorus of this song kind of just builds off of each verse. Those last two lines, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. He just repeats that. And he goes on in every verse, he uses the last two lines of the verse to go on and kind of do like a chorusy thing. And it works really well. It's beautiful. Verse 2, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. And when I saw the word vile, it made me think of Paul the Apostle, because he called himself the chief of sinners. And if anybody was deserving of death, it was him. He had done atrocious things to God's people. And so when I saw this word vile, I was thinking Paul the Apostle. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. If we are as vile as the dying thief, we can still have our sins washed away. Here's Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16 out of the NASB 20. This is Ananias coming to Paul when Paul is blind, and he's going to help him restore his sight here. Verse 12. Now a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing nearby, he said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I looked up at him. And he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear a message from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all people of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins by calling on his name. There's a little bit of theology in this verse here. Verse 16, now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins by calling on his name. Note here that the washing away of sins is not from the baptism. It is by calling on his name. The Church of Christ denomination, they ascribe baptism, physical baptism, as being a prerequisite for salvation. That's part of salvation for the Church of Christ denomination. So if you're not baptized, your sins have not been washed away. But we can see from this passage that the washing away of sins is by calling on his name. You know, don't use this passage to be like, oh, you need to get baptized to wash away your sins. No, it doesn't matter which tank you're dunked in. It doesn't matter what water you're dunked in. Your sins aren't washed, and even if you use soap while you're dunking, as we learned earlier, that's still not going to take away those sins. But calling on the name of Jesus and asking him to save your soul will. You lean on that name, and you lean on his blood, and that's what this song is about. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that can wash away your sins. Verse 3, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The whole reason I am bringing this podcast to you is because a church member brought up this line with me. Dear dying lamb. And this church member was curious, is Jesus dying? Here is Revelations 5:6. Revelations 5:6 says, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. John has been looking for somebody to open this scroll, and nobody can open it. And then they point to this slaughtered lamb, and it's like, that's the one. That's the one that's going to open the scroll. We see Jesus as this slaughtered lamb. While he was on the cross, he was dying. His blood was pouring out at that time. I'm not sure if Jesus is dying now, but he was dying when he was on the cross, and that's when his blood was flowing out of him. Let me go a little bit further with this. This is maybe stretching this a little bit. I don't think this is what the verse is saying, but consider this. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25 out of the NASB 20 here, reading. 21 says, for you have been called for this purpose, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. While suffering, he did not threaten, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself brought our sins in his body up on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. And verse 25 tells us how we're healed. Verse 25, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So we are brought back into the fold. We're healed. Peter goes on to say how we ought to live now because we are dying to sin and living for righteousness. This is what this healing looks like. This is what this healing can bring into our lives. When Jesus is dying, we should be dying with him. In verse 21, it says, because Christ suffered for you, he's leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps. Jesus didn't die just so you can live. You have to die with him first. You have to die to your sin. You have to die to yourself. And you have to die to whatever your parents taught you growing up. And you have to live for Jesus, live for righteousness, and live for whatever the Bible says. That's the renewal. That's the healing. Go for that. All right. Soapbox over. Moving on. The verse is, verse 3 says, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Now, hang on a second. If you read this carefully, this seems to be saying that Christ's blood will actually lose its power when the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. What I think this means is that the blood has not lost its power, per se, but it's accomplished its purpose. When the saints are gathered together and all of God's redeemed people have been saved, there is no more blood that needs to be shed. There is no more remission of sins required. Here's Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Once the purchase is complete, once everybody has been redeemed, then the blood, in a sense, loses its power. I don't like the way that sounds, but I like the idea that it has accomplished its purpose and is now fulfilled. That's my synopsis of verse 3 there. Verse 4, ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme. and shall be till I die. Man, I love those two lines. That's a battle cry, man. Throw your fist in the air, just like, yes! Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Reminds me of In Christ Alone, Christ Our Hope in Life and Death, you know. Reminds me of some of those other ones that are just like, yeah! I have to get back on track here. Celebrating too much. Let me read the scripture to you. This is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 out of the NASB 20. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, eager for good deeds. His redeeming love will be our theme until the day we die. Thank you, guys. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful week.